I guess I want to start off by just a quick reminder of, again, who the Northeast Regional Ocean Council is. It is a creature of the New England governors. It was formed back in 2005, actually by then-governor of Rhode Island, Governor Cartieri, really spearheaded that. It includes the New England states, Connecticut through Maine, as well as some of our federal partners from various federal agencies. NROC has been working together since its formation, so now about, 6 years, on issues that relate to common interests in ocean resources and what seems to be sort of a continuing pattern of new and emerging uses for ocean space. If you remember back in 2005, at that time, given the price of natural gas, there was a lot of interest in LNG around the region, and that was a thing that we got together and had plenty of conversations about. Other things more recently, obviously, still in sort of the energy field, but relate more closely to renewable energy, and we're all aware of what's been going on with some of that. So my point is that NROC, you know, similarly in some respects to a regional body such as this, has really been getting together for several years with the idea of let's actually talk about those things for us that are regional in nature, which lends itself very well to things like energy, renewable energy, and habitats, natural resources, that sort of thing. So NROC was kind of moseying along, doing its thing for a couple of years. And then, as we know, back in June of last year, President Obama signed an executive order and adopted the National Ocean Policy. One of the things that National Ocean Policy does, again, as a reminder, is it calls for the development of regional ocean plans. And New England is one of the regions called out. All of the coast of the United States is divided up into, I think it's 8 or 9 regions if you count the islands, and New England is one. The Northeast Regional Ocean Council has taken an interest in this and has been working since the time of 2010 to kind of lay some of the groundwork for some actual work to be done. Very importantly in that has been, since the last time I came and spoke to you, which was in September, and I believe at that time what I basically talked about is, look, it looks like we're going to have some resources, i.e. money, to be able to do some work. That's what we've really been focused on since that time, is refining our scopes of work, essentially our proposals. And now we are waiting for final word on actual dollars to flow to NROC on that. We're confident in that, though, which is why that we're going to be successful and that money is going to be here, which is why I'm very glad to have the opportunity to chat with you now. Somebody smarter than I, when I was talking about this whole sort of, you know, boil down ocean planning and sell it like it's a Hollywood movie. So apparently if you go pitch a movie in Hollywood, you have, you know, boil it down to 2 sentences. What is this stuff? What are we talking about here? So what we've kind of said is that for NROC, we recognize that there's a lot going on in the region already, and there's certainly an enormous amount going on your plates, and we are fully aware of that. And there are other things also going on. Renewable energy has a lot of interest right now. There's some interesting work being done by some folks in other areas, such as things as marine transportation, shipping. There is some interesting work being done out there in a couple of other topics. But that what NROC said is, prior to jumping the gun and saying, here's exactly what we think an ocean plan should do and what should accomplish, let's instead sort of focus on kind of doing 2 things to build a better information base to more fully understand what any sort of regional plan should look like ultimately if we ever get there. And that is really what NROC has focused its work plan on for the funding that we're confident is coming to us, is really focused then on 2 things. And it says, we can all do better decisions if we have better information, data, and science. with which to draw upon those decisions. But that just as important as just the science project developing those pretty maps sort of thing, that we think it's absolutely vital that as we're doing that work, that important work to develop those products, that we're engaging with people, with industry, with the fishing industry, with folks like the council, with other interests that are out there, renewable energy and transportation being one, natural resources, et cetera. So really, if you step back and look at what it is that we're planning on doing in our work plan, it really comes down to divide it up into two things, but they're related. They are, we're going to develop better data and science, and I will get into a little bit more of that and what I mean by that in a minute. But we're going to do that in such a way that from the beginning, even from the very beginning of actually starting to scope out what exactly we are preparing to work on, we're scoping out those efforts in concert with industry experts such as yourselves, other entities, et cetera. So this is, you have a handout. I on purpose did not want to have a PowerPoint presentation. You have a handout that the title of it is NROC Ocean Planning. That's what I'm going to speak to. And what I really want to do is talk a little bit more about what some of our thoughts on that, to talk a little bit more about our timeline, to talk a little bit more about some things that we've already done that are sort of behind the scenes, foundational type of things. And then actually, maybe we can have a bit of a conversation about all this going forward. So on that first slide, essentially what we're saying is that if you fast forward a year from now, what does it look like if we're kind of doing good stuff? And from our standpoint, what does it look like if we're successful? We sort of take the approach that a year from now we are successful if we have some actual draft products that we are starting to engage with the public, and that we have developed those products by working with the experts based on the nature of those products. So, for example, if we are interested, which we are, in trying to work with existing data sets that relate to the spatial pattern of fishing, commercial fishing, and there are some data sets which can start to tell some of that story. It's not complete, but they can tell some of that. That we're doing that and working with those data in such a way that we are actually involving the experts in those fields. So industry, some of the folks from the Science Center, some other federal and state experts in this field. So that's what that means, that we have scoped out what we're planning on doing, and we've started the work of actually developing these products by working with those experts. But that we also think that, and not to sound too mushy on this, but that we're also pragmatic about this. Some of this is going to take some time. You all need to get to know us, and we need to get to know you more than we already do. So we're pragmatic about that. And we understand that if you're talking about any of this stuff, people are going to have very real, serious questions about what's in it for them. And we understand that. So I think we're very much interested in opening the door right now to working with people, but fully expect that this is going to be something that's going to take some time and evolve over time. So the point on the continuing to build on that working relationship, that's all that's meant to be captured in that. So I'll say a little bit more about our general timeline as to where we are now. And in doing so, I hope to be able to provide a little bit more flesh on the bones of what our work plan might look like. So this is the second slide, bottom of the first page. Here we are in November 2011. The first sort of phase of this between now and roughly a February, possibly a March of early 2012 type of time frame is further refining our work plan. So if you look at, as I said, we have some interests and ideas about developing data and science and engaging with people, but we also fully recognize that we need to more fully refine that. So, for example, when we say that we are interested in working with some existing data sets that help us describe patterns of commercial fishing across the region, because that's, again, the scale we're working on, let's dive a little bit more deeply into that. What exactly does that mean? There are some significant issues with any existing data set, as we all know. There are limitations. There are the proprietary nature of some of this data is a very significant concern. We think that we've seen examples of how that's been addressed, but let's have that conversation about, you know, how to more fully scope out that work. And to that extent, I've actually reached out to some of you and expect further conversations with others of you that I've not talked to yet, inviting and seeing if there's interest in being part of that effort, starting now and scoping out what that work means. So I think for us, you can take that sort of general approach and repeat that across some of the other types of issue areas that we're somewhat interested or in exploring. So I don't want to leave you with the impression that what NROC is doing with this ocean planning work is solely focused on commercial fishing related issues. All issues are related out there, but you know there are other issues that we're also very much interested in that have to do with energy and renewable energy and transportation, some of those other things that I mentioned before. But my point is, our overall approach is basically the same for all of those issues, that we want to be working right now actively before we start signing up contracts with people to do work to help scope out that work so that it meets what we, the regional we, not just people in this room, but all of us, agree are good stuff to do. That takes time, and we recognize that. We think that we've started some of that already, as I mentioned, because I have, as some of you know, have reached out to some of you. There will be more of that coming. You know, will that be entirely wrapped up by the first part of 2012? I certainly hope so, but we'll have to see. And if we have to adjust schedules, we do. The next sort of important milestone then, as we're sort of building this, you know, sort of building this work plan and how are we going to spend the money that we have, is in February, possibly March type of time frame, you'll see this thing called a regional meeting. And our thinking is there that it's nice and important that we're going to be doing some work scoping out some of this, the individual aspects of our work plan, but that it will be important at some point, and we think it's a February, March type of time frame, to bring people who have been involved maybe in various pieces of that, but maybe not the whole enchilada, to bring those folks together in a regional workshop so that people have a general understanding of the overall picture of the work plan. So if I've been working with, you know, somebody here around the table on commercial fishing, but they're kind of interested in I've heard you, you know, John, talk about some of these other things you're thinking about, and I'm kind of interested in that, this would be an opportunity to explore that a little bit more fully. That's kind of what that regional meeting is all about. And importantly, it would be, you know, sort of then the launch to the real key aspects of doing the work going forward. So this would be a time to say, sort of, look, here's what we've kind of set out for the next year, 18 months, 2 years, the time frame that we have available to us with funding. You know, here's sort of a general understanding of what we hope to accomplish within that time. Let's discuss it. Let's make sure it makes sense to all of us, that sort of thing. Again, getting an idea of the bigger picture. That's kind of the intent of that regional meeting. The timing of that obviously will depend on lots of things. You know, how far along we are in scoping, does it make sense at that point in time to host that? But obviously fairly soon we need to be starting to make those decisions. I guess I would hope that one of the things that I could leave you with today is that, you know, if you hear more about that, have further thoughts, the design of that regional meeting is also something that is very much being born now. So a great time to also talk about that as there is interest. So now we're starting to head toward the close of winter, the first part of spring, and there's some time in there for coming out of this sort of launch effort, the kickoff, just to gear up for what is right now tentatively looking at the end of the spring, April, May, June type of time frame, for really starting in earnest in a more sort of organized, somewhat formal way, to be going out and having public meetings, public conversations, probably some workshops. We don't have exact format for all of this worked out as of yet, but to really start again, or to really continue the engaging on some of these issues in a public opportunity, a public forum. Kind of part of our thinking on that in terms of that overall time frame, and this then relates to, if you look at the bottom of that slide, you'll see that there's a data development effort informed by and used at public discussion mention. So kind of what we're saying there is look, we are doing some, as I'll get to in a minute, some already working on some certain aspects of data development, putting together a foundation, a platform for subsequent data to live, that sort of thing. The specifics of what that data development type of work actually entails is something that we're, again, as I said, planning on engaging with you all and others, experts in the fields, to help us further refine that. And if we can synchronize the timing and all of that, which we're hopeful that we can do, the idea is to take some of those initial draft products, draft data products, and start talking about them in these public forums in the spring, April, May, June of 2012. That's ambitious. Will we be able to meet that time frame? We are certainly going to push for that. I think the more that we can do right now up front to engage folks in the next short term, in this first phase, I think it's going to go a long way to seeing if we can do that. But that's our intention, because we think that for a variety of reasons, an important one is we're all meeting doubt. And we have all been, invited to go to too many of these things, and we don't want to repeat work that's already been going on. So if we can do a bit of homework ahead of time through the process that I've laid out and come to those meetings with a bit more of something on the walls for us all to go, take a look at and react to, then we think that's a very appropriate path forward. What is not on this timeline, obviously, is anything after June. And I don't want to leave you at all with the impression that, June, that's it, then we're done. Absolutely not. June is sort of where the meat really starts hitting the road, and that's an unbelievably bad mix of metaphors. But anyway, that's, I don't even want to pause and dwell on that for a minute. But anyway, so the point is that's about as far ahead as we think it right now. It makes sense for us to be, really talking about from a planning standpoint. We have, from a process standpoint, we have funding going well beyond that, and it is for additional work on data and science, additional engagement with people specifically for that. Exactly how and when, though, that will happen is going to unfold. I think that we need to be keeping an eye on that and what seems to make sense, because people are going to want to know. But from where we sit right now, it's just a little bit too soon. But in general, the expectation is there is much more resources available for us to do that kind of work over the next 2 years. So I don't want to leave you the impression that ends in June, because it will not. That's kind of a picture of where we stand right now in general on our timeline. I wanted to shift gears just a little bit, and I'm skipping over to the second page, to talk about just some of the, I mentioned a minute ago, some of the preparatory or sort of foundational work that we've been doing. This, the image you see there, which I don't know if it reproduced all that well, but it is from the website that you can see there, northeastoceandata.org. For the last year or so, there have been a group of folks who have been working on essentially putting out in the public realm, so anybody can go to that website, a place where you can go start looking at some of the data that has been collected and worked on to date. You know, that's the kind of thing that right now, if you went there, I don't know, you might see 50-odd different pieces of data. A lot more to come with that. And I guess my real point in saying this is not to get into wonky GIS world, but to say that absolutely our intention is that this be a public process and that this be available to whomever wants to and wishes to and needs to go get engaged with various aspects of this. And we think a website like this is a very appropriate place to start. I think there'll be a lot more added to that website in months to come, but that's a thing that we've been spending quite a bit of time on. And we've developed that really in partnership with a whole bunch of folks paying attention to what's been going on at the national level because there's been some work and similar type of stuff. So we're coordinating and not replicating that sort of thing. As I said, you know, kind of the main thing that we've also been doing is essentially trying to have a whole bunch of conversations along these lines with other folks that we need to work with. And I guess I hope maybe the meeting summary can reflect this. A thank you to Paul Howard, because he's been great in spending some time with us to talk over the last couple of months, even with all that's been going on, to talk with us about some of this work, and very much appreciate that, and hope to continue that sort of conversation. That is what I had for a presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions, or you can certainly contact me. The contact information is listed on the last slide. I really hope that what's come across today is the fact that we are looking at this as the start of this and want to start out on the right approach. And we think the right approach is that we need to be working with folks such as yourself and others who have already been engaged in some of this work for a long time. So I'll stop there and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, John, for that presentation. Are there any questions from council members? Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, actually kind of interested in this. I was looking at what you were saying, or actually listening, and realizing that some aspects of marine spatial planning are relatively fixed. For example, a shipping lane ends at a harbor. The harbor isn't going to move, so the shipping lane's always going to end at that harbor. You know, you might be able to shift it outside somewhere. But fisheries is evolving. It changes all the time. So, for example, we may move our closed areas in response to better science or changes in fish stocks or a whole host of reasons. So I was curious how your process envisions dealing with marine spatial planning when some things are relatively fixed and others kind of evolve over time.
It's a great question, and actually I hope that's something that we roll up the sleeves and get into a little bit more than the answer I'm about to give you, because I think it's very important. Because obviously, you know, if you look at any of the existing data sets, they're historical. And for whatever piece of information you're looking at, it's the nature of the beast. And we all know that, you know, can we see around the next 5, 10, 15 years? Tough to do. I guess a couple of things. There, obviously, some of this does have to be forward thinking. And that is a hard thing for all of us to wrap our heads around. I think that one of the things that we need to do is work hard to set up the opportunities just for the what may seem right now kind of wildly creative conversations to take place. Here's an example of that, actually, with shipping. So there's actually a lot of, this just sort of boggles my mind, but in a way, if I start to think about it, it makes sense. There's a lot of interest right now being given to things like what happens with shipping on the East Coast of the United States, even in and out of Portland, Boston, New York, and even some of the smaller ports. What happens with that if the Arctic opens? What happens? Ports are in a business of competing with themselves. So I pretty much could guarantee you that some of the ports are really starting to think about this issue in a big way. How would that change patterns of shipping activity? I don't know, but it seems to me like it might. Think about things like that. And then the other example that has just come across recently has to do with the Panama Canal. If the Panama Canal gets deepened to 50 feet, same question. What does that do to shipping on the East Coast? I don't know the answer to that right now. I think those are the kinds of things that we need to at least see about exploring, first of all. I think with your other observation, though, that there are other things that are going to be going on that you will be deciding, spatial fishing management measures, it is not going to be the role of an ocean plan to come in and say, no. No. It's not that at all. You, the Fishery Council and the existing structure, are going to have that authority. This will not change that, right? Is there information that we would need to pay attention to in terms of what's happening with a habitat omnibus amendment or this, that, or the other thing that you'll be working on? Absolutely, because that will very much matter with some of these things that are now being proposed and talked about out there as other types of human activities. So I think some of that is what we see as the benefit of the conversation, is so that we're very much aware of where things seem to be going. You know, and then if you overlay on top of all of that sort of some of what the science is telling us about how systems are changing and that sort of thing, you know, that's an additional layer that I think I don't think I would say here and say we're going to solve that, crack that nut. I don't think so. Can we make strides toward advancing some of that conversation? Yes, I think we can. So
then you've envisioned this initial process as kind of a cataloging of what is currently, as well as a questioning of what might be, say, 5, 10, 20, 50 years from now. There'll be kind of like a two-pronged approach. Is that how I understand your answer?
Yes, and thank you. That was much more succinct. I may steal some of that language from you. But yes, that is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct.
Anyone else on the council? Sally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thanks, John, for coming. Can you just talk a little bit more about how you expect or hope fisheries and the Fishery Council will be incorporated in NROC as you go forward?
So I think I'm going to go right to the practical part of this because I think that's right now what's most important. And I guess the invitation on the table that I spoke about before to hopefully work with some of the people here sitting in the room now to help us scope out our work. But it's also to, you know, make sure that at least in the next couple of months, as we are continuing not just with the fisheries-related work that we're doing, but other aspects, because that does matter, that there's an opportunity for us to also talk about that, have a conversation about that. As you know, some of you know, there's been sort of at a national level kind of an ongoing conversation about how do fishery councils, not just in New England, but across the country, how do they actually interact with some of this ocean planning stuff? And what we've been saying all along is that we think for us here in New England, it's got to be, from the very beginning, that we have to be engaged with you because that's how the real world works out there. And we think it's just the only practical way forward for us to go is to engage with you on that. What exactly is going to happen out of that national level conversation, I honestly don't know. I actually checked on this getting ready for today's meeting to see what, if any, further word there was, and there is no further word on that from D.C. So I think that we're just sort of saying, well, okay, if that's for us, it only makes sense to be working with you, you meaning the council, you, and that's what we intend to do.
A couple more questions, if I could, Mr. Chairman. And I'm not sure if this is a question for John, but it's related to ASMFC. And just quite simply, I'm wondering if there have been discussions with ASMFC along the lines of what you've had with the New England Fishery Management Council.
I'll let Vince speak to this if he would like. Vince and I spoke with some of your staff about 2 weeks ago before your meeting last week in Boston. And I would describe it, you know, feel free to chime in. It was very similar. It was, you know, how do we work, where can we work together, how do we work together going forward?
Just a couple more, thank you. So could you talk just a little bit more about the regional workshop? I assume that once it gets closer, I'm assuming a couple things. First, that the Fishery Council can be engaged in helping you put together an agenda for that workshop. And the other thing, though, is can you just talk about why a council member or someone in the fishing industry might want to participate in that regional ocean planning workshop that would be happening sometime after the first of the year?
Don't drink water too fast before you answer a question. The answer to your first question is yes, absolutely, and would love to chat about that more. I'm going to hang around today, and we'll be around, and you have my contact information. Yes, would love any and all input on shaping that agenda. Obviously, as I said, it's fairly draft right now, and so there is going to be a lot more work on putting that agenda together. So the opportunity is very real. In terms of your second question, it's a great one, and I would say it's not just for fishermen, but for anybody. It's because, as I said, what we're essentially looking at that regional workshop is that's the launching point for this effort. That's the point where we kind of, you know, get together as in a room or a couple of rooms and say, okay, so here's what we're really going to do. Let's, you know, how do we address Dave's question? What are we doing with that, guys? Let's just not just say, oh, yeah, it's a good question. Let's talk about it, and let's come up with some specific things. It's that kind of conversation that I think we envision is happening between now and the workshop, culminating with the workshop, and then kind of that's the charge forward after that. So it's a real opportunity then to be engaged in shaping this thing and addressing the issues that you, the big you, feel are important and need to be addressed.
Just one last comment, Mr. Chairman. So I would suggest that we take John up on his positive response to my suggestion that we participate in putting together the agenda for this workshop so that we're active participants in this, not just to keep tabs on NROC, but rather to think about how we can take advantage of the work that John is doing to advance something that's going to help us with ecosystem-based fishery management. So, you know, it's not the exact same thing. A lot of the same principles are involved, though. So I hope, Mr. Chairman, that we can remain actively involved with this, especially as we're leading up to this regional workshop in the spring. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. I asked Chris to make a note, since Paul had been our primary contact there, that Paul continue to, you know, work with John on that very subject. Hopefully, if there's the timing works, there will be an opportunity for some coordination, perhaps with the executive committee I don't know if it would, the timing would allow another full council addressing of that, but it's definitely on the radar. Glenn.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, John. Good presentation. I'm looking at the National Ocean Data Viewer website right now, and it's got, I'm looking specifically at mobile bottom gear. Do you know how far back in time the data is for that? And just a suggestion, I think as this thing goes forward, if it's not that far back, you really need to look back quite a ways to get a picture of what the fishery should look like instead of what it might look like in the, you know, the present or not too far distant past. And that may help give some insight on how to structure things going forward, because the goal here is to restore the thing and try to get it back to fishing in more areas than it appears there are right now. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment. Your first question, I don't remember off the top of my head how far back that goes. I do know with every data, I don't remember exactly how to get it, but I can look at it in a minute. With every data layer that is on there, there is information about the data, which should describe that sort of thing. And I can, we'll certainly follow up with you to get you that answer. But more generally to then your second point, absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why when we are starting now to scope the work we want to do, but also then when we get to a point of having developed, worked up some maps like the one you're looking at, we need to have that conversation with you so that we can understand that point and points that are going to be like that that will crop up with every single piece of data, so we can understand that more, so that we can understand. Because a lot of the data that is available right now will not go back all that far in time. There may be some exceptions, but in generally it won't. There are some exceptions.
Thank you, John.
Anyone else on the council? Anyone in the audience have a question? Okay. John, thank you very much for the presentation, and we look forward to doing this on at every meeting so that we can continue to keep up on what's happening.
Very happy to do so. And to your point about if there are other ways to engage other committees that you were mentioning before, happy to do that at your discretion, obviously.
Thank you. Okay, we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the responses to the touch